Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. God has been good to each one of us. One thing that I failed to announce is that normally during October we have the men's hair challenge, and we're a little bit late announcing that, but we are asking the men if you can contribute to the Pink Witnesses. That donation would be greatly appreciated. You can make out your donation to the Crossroad Baptist Church. Then in the memo line of your check, we ask that you would put on there for the Pink Witnesses or Men's Hair Challenge. Now, normally, October would be a terrible time as we looked at men's faces and they didn't have mustaches and all of that. But some of them, they normally wear a bald head, and y'all wouldn't want to see me without a bald head, with a bald head and without a mustache. It hides some of the rest of my face. But they would have that men's hair challenge. But we ask that you would please give a donation, because the Pink Witnesses are reaching out to women that have breast cancer. This is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's impacted members of our church. It's impacted members of our family. Whatever you can do to help them and support them would be greatly, greatly appreciated. Amen? So men, we got to do our task. We'll step up and do our job. Amen? If you have your Bibles, turn with us to the Gospel of St. John. We've been talking about strength. We've been talking about energy and how do we serve the Lord and how do we honor him. And last Sunday, we gave you reason why we need to have strength and why we need to have ability. And one of the things is called perseverance. How do you put up with all of this that we're dealing with? How do you have that soundness of mind, being able to deal with situations, but to also move forward in your faith? How do you do that? We studied and we looked at Matthew chapter 24 on last week, where Jesus is telling us, you got to endure. You just can't give up. You can't throw up your hands and say, I can't make it. Our strength comes from the Lord. And so we started off with that challenge. This week, we want to invite you to John chapter 15, and beginning with verse number 1 and reading through verse number 5, we find something very powerful. You know, people say, well, I want the Lord to strengthen me. How does God do that? He does that through this divine connection. Listen to what it says in John chapter 15, and beginning with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman, or the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide or live in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, listen to the word, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Before you take your seat, look at your neighbor and ask your neighbor, did you check your connection? Look at somebody else. Ask them, did you check your connection? Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we thank you for this tremendous opportunity to share your word. We ask that you would give us clarity of thought, give us clarity of voice, give us clarity of mind that we might hear the word of God. Lord, those that are assembled here today, they didn't come to hear Coleman. They came to hear Christ. They want to hear a word from the Lord. We're in desperate times. And Lord, we only can depend upon your grace and your strength. Bless us now and bless our time together that we might be able to receive your powerful word into our lives. We ask that, Lord, you would strengthen us where we're weak, build us up where we're torn down, and help us to be faithful in our walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Many of us have prayed and asked God to give us strength as we go through various things in life. And I have two concerns. One concern is that we have a relationship with God, and we know that. Our salvation is secure in Christ. We believe in him. We trust in him. We know we're going to heaven when we die. But the problem is, what are we going to do now? That brings us to the second question. Not only what are we going to do now, but is our relationship simply dependent on, well, God, get me out of trouble. God, help me to overcome this. God, direct me to do this. And that lifestyle or that motive actually becomes personal driven. Now we want God to do amazing things in our life to help us. To help us. Now, truly, God does help you. And if it had not been for the Lord, you would not have made it thus far. How many of you know that God has been your help? Amen? But now, what I'm concerned about is that how do we as believers respond to this amazing love of God? Where do we get our strength to serve God? And it's right here in God's word. It's called a connection through him who is the vine. Now, of course, Jesus is using a metaphor. He's using an example. He's teaching you. He's not literally a vine, but in the sense spiritually, he is the vine. This would have made great sense to the people who were in Israel because many of them had tilled and they had tended to the vineyards. They had crushed the grapes. They knew the process for making grapes and then crushing them and turning them into wine and all of these things. They knew about that. So it would have been natural for them to say, yeah, we get it. We get it. As a matter of fact, through the Old Testament, Israel was called God's vine. So it would have made sense to them. It would have been something that they could relate to. In our culture, we are more or less just kind of driven by whatever works, let's do it. You know, and people say, well, you know, I'm motivated by this and motivated by this. But what God is telling us, you have a relationship with me. You have a relationship with me. As a matter of fact, these verses brings out three that we need to focus on. One is the Father. You focus on him. What's he doing? He is the vine dresser. He is the husbandman. He's the caretaker for the vine. Then you also have the vine, and it's no one else except Jesus Christ. Here's the amazing thing that I look at. We could not get to God. So let's look at all the world religions. All of them are trying to get to God. All of them are saying, hey, we're the way to God. We could not get to God. It was impossible. So what God did, he came down to earth to us. And he connected us with God. Now, Jesus is using this symbolism. He's saying, I am the vine. You got to get connected. If you want to get with God, no one comes unto the Father but by me. Only through that connection. But then he also brings up something else in these five verses. Brings up the fact that we have branches. You got God the Father taking care of the vine. He cares for the vine. You also have the vine, which is Jesus Christ. But now you have us. We're the branches. We're the ones that God is going to bless and help us to be productive, or what we call to bear much fruit. So in this process, we have to check our connections. We have to make sure that nothing is happening between us and the vine. It's not your job to be the vine. Your job is to be the branch. It's your job to make sure that you're connected with Christ. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. And the title of this message is Check the Connection.
check the connection. You can't force things to happen in your life. You need to be connected in order for God to work through your life and to produce this thing that we call good fruit. Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, and the rest of them. Amen. So check the connection. Jesus says in this verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in them, the same bring forth much fruit. What drew me to this verse was the last part of this verse. It says, for without me, you can do nothing. And there are a lot of people think, well, I don't need God. Not according to this verse. Even the sinner needs God to give them breath every day. Does God help the sinner to breathe? Yes, he does. He pours his sunshine on the wicked as well as the righteous every day. And Jesus was telling us, without the power of God, nothing could exist, nothing could move, nothing would have any energy. All of the energy, all of the strength has to come from God Almighty. Here's the gracious thing about it. Here's the gracious thing about it. God pours out his strength and his energy every day. What an amazing God we serve. Whether you deserve it or not, he just gives it because he's God Almighty. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad he gave me strength this morning. I'm glad that he worked in my life today that I might lift up my voice and give him praise and to give him honor. Everything depends on connections. Everything depends on connections. We now got into this thing of connecting with people. We pull out our phone and you know, 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, you would never think that you could communicate with somebody on the other part of the world. Maybe if you had the resources, you could do it. But now, you know, through Verizon, as long as you pay your bill, AT&T what's the other one? Sprint, all of them. As long as you pay your bill, you can communicate. You can Snapchat. You can get on Facebook. Facebook in trouble now, but that's, you know, side of the point. But you can communicate with people as long as you have connection. You know that your cell phone, you have to charge it up. It has to have power. It's got a battery, but that battery only lasts for a little while. And this would be a great time to preach the gospel. This would be a great time to insert in the message here. Sinner, how long do you think you can make it without God? Your battery is running out. We studied in Sunday school this morning that he that believes on Jesus has eternal life. So sooner or later, you're going to have to deal with this man called Jesus Christ. Right now, he comes to us as the vine. He comes to us as the one who connects us with God, but he also comes to us as the one through whom we can produce fruit. Everybody say fruit. You know, I grew up on the farm, and I know a lot about fruit. You know, if you grow a plant, you don't just ask for the plant to just grow and look nice. You want the plant to bear some fruit. We had peach trees, apple trees. By the way, we visited an orchard last week. If y'all are over 60 or retired, please join our senior citizen group. We got our senior wellness program. And I'm telling you, we got to go to the orchard. Now, what if we'd gone to the orchard and we saw nice trees? They were just flourishing. We saw the trees. Each one of them had been trimmed. Each one of them didn't really look a whole lot attractive, but when we looked at the fruit, we said, wow, those trees did that. Jesus said something. He said, herein is my Father glorified. People say, I want to give God the glory. I want to give him all the praise. Now, the praise of your lips is one thing, but the praise of your fruit is another thing. Don't just think you're giving God all the praise with your lips, and if you're not giving it with your life. Look at somebody and tell them you need to get connected. Y'all a little bit bashful about that, but that's okay. We're going to make it. We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. So we find that strong relationships depend on good connections. You've got to have a good connection. If you know God, you've got to have a connection with God. And that connection has to come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Connections, as I said, is important to everything that we do. Transportation depends on connections. Those of you who are mechanically inclined, you know that your connection in your car has got to have a battery. You got to make sure that that battery is connected to the starter. If it's not connected to the starter, then the engine is not going to turn over. We know that. My wife won't let me work on our vehicles. I'll tell everybody I'm an expert at taking them apart. It's putting them back together that I have problems. But you have to have these connections. Think about it. The aircraft that we have that takes cargo and individuals to their destinations, they fly through the air. But what if there was no connection with the air traffic control? What if there was no connection for them to take off and land, or either to know what route they're taking? You'd have planes colliding in midair. They have to have some form of connection. People say, why is my life falling apart? Why do I have problems everywhere? Now, the Bible does not guarantee that you will not have problems and difficulties. But what it does guarantee is that when God is in your life, when you have a connection with the Lord and Savior, God says, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And there are a lot of people taking the extremes. They're saying, well, I got to take life into my own hands, and I've got to do this. And even when I can't make things work out, I'll just commit suicide. Please, please, wait a minute. Hold up. Put the brakes on. Number one, your life does not belong to you. It belongs to the one that gave it to you. And before you take the extreme, go to him. Just go to him and say, God, I'm at my wit's end. I don't know where to turn. If you come to him sincerely and say, God, I need to get connected with your strength and with your power, he is so gracious. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of what you've been through, this amazing God will connect you so that you can find hope. You can find peace. You can find grace. You can find love. You can find acceptance. If nobody else cares about you, this amazing God does care. He will not change his promise. He said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten son. You need connections. These connections are critical to us. Please note, when we have a connection with God, we're really talking about our relationship. We're talking about knowing God. God is not some man upstairs. He's got a name. He's got a name. And you need to get to know him. The disciples were asking Jesus, well, what do we call him? He says, call him our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven. He's got a name, but also we find that this amazing God has reached out to us, and Jesus is sharing with us something powerful in these verses. He said, not only are you going to get connected in a relationship, you're also going to get connected so that through you, you might do the amazing things of God in the world. You ever thought about that? People say, well, what should I do as a Christian? Hold on a minute. We're going to tell you all about it. We're going to tell you some of the things that you ought to be doing as a Christian. This fruit is possible through us as we depend upon God's grace to work through us. Now, I've already told you, I've already said to you, without Christ, without God, you and I can do nothing. So let's ask a couple of questions. How does an usher? An usher ushers only through the grace and power of God. Okay, that's number one. How does a choir member sing? They can only do that through the grace and power of God that works through their life. But that's Sunday stuff, right? What about the rest of the week? What about the rest of the time? How do we care for people that are in need? By the same power that works through you while you're in here, doing the inside stuff, the same God will work through you to do the outside stuff. He will work, and God's power will work through you so that you don't have to get discouraged. You don't have to get confused. Anytime you get to the place where you feel like you're overwhelmed, just say, Lord, I need to check my connection. I need to be reassured that I am in Christ and that it's not me doing this, but it's you working through me. When God brings you to an area of difficulty, you don't have to throw up your hands and say, what am I going to do? God is going to do something amazing through you. God is going to help you at that time to keep moving forward in His name. How many of y'all get that? As a matter of fact, how many of you all have been there? And you've done what you knew you should do, and that is to pray unto God. And then God, you felt the power of God strengthening you. Here you were facing something you have never gone through before, and you felt like you couldn't make it on your own. But God, who is mighty, gave you strength. How does that work? Through the vine. You got your strength through the vine. So Jesus now is not just our salvation. He becomes our motivation, our very power that we need to work through this life. I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. I had a 62 Chevrolet, you know what? And that thing had we had to put a 327 engine in it with a four-barrel carburetor. That thing would flat out move. It would move. But guess what? If the battery ran dead, that thing wouldn't go anywhere. I had to check the connection. Some of you run out of energy because you haven't checked your connection with Christ. Now you're trying to do things on your own. Now you're saying to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to do this. Two problems, what I call, come up when we refer to this issue. And both of them need to be addressed. One is the need for strength. All of us have been there. Now, mainly the need for strength, as it tells us, and Jesus tells us in John 15:5, he says, he who abides and I in them, he abides in me and I in them, the same brings forth much fruit. So we know that we have a need for strength. We have the need because we now need the ability. And child of God, let me tell you two things here. If you're connected with Christ, you are alive. You're not dead. You are alive. You know that He's real and you can feel His presence in your life. You know that God is walking with you. You have the assurance, as we discussed earlier, you have that assurance. You're certain that God has done this. You're not in this thing to try to win favor in the eyes of God. You already got favor. You got favor because you're in Christ. I wish people would do that. You got a lot of people thinking, well, I need to please the Lord. You're already pleasing to Him. He chose you. As jacked up as you were, He chose you. As messed up as your mind was, He chose you. He selected you, so you already got the favor of God. Quit trying to impress God and start living through His strength. Now, why is it that people need this strength? Because they're not aware that they have the connection. They're not aware that God is available to them. They're not aware that they're close to God, that they're in Christ. And I love this example because now the life that flows to the vine also flows through the vine to the branches. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not natural life. That's not what we call things of this world. That's things of that world. Now you got the dynamite, the power, and the ability, the strength and grace of God. But you can be at a place where you're not aware of it. You're not aware of it. How many of y'all have ever had your cell phones to start running out of power, and it tells you, that little bar on there tells you, you ain't got no power. You're getting ready to drop every call and every text and everything. You don't have any power. You have that indicator. And a lot of us, we know when we don't have power, but the thing is, we can't get to an outlet. Well, here's the point. If you knew that you're connected in Christ, you don't have to look for an outlet. You just have to reaffirm your faith and say, God, I believe you. Are y'all getting this? How in the world? I know that this is not in the New Testament sense, but it was in the same sense of connected with God. How in the world could somebody as little as David, the shepherd, stand up to a giant who's about 9 feet tall? I mean, the guy's bad. I mean, this dude has been fighting since he's been in the world. Here come little David swinging a little slingshot. He felt the connection with God. And because he felt that connection with God, he said, you know what? This guy's out here blaspheming. I may not be that big, but guess what? I'm in God's hands. And if you're in God's hands, you can do mighty things. You can do some extraordinary things because you are in God. You're an overcomer. He stood up to Goliath, took his little slingshot. Here's what happened. Here's what really happened. He had the slingshot. He had the stone. But when he let go of that stone, it was not his energy that took the giant out. Because what happened when the stone released from his hand, God said, I'll take it from here. And what happens in your life when you have a problem and you sling God's word at that problem, you hit it right in the forehead and say, know what, devil, you cannot conquer me. I'm more than a conqueror. He won the victory because he knew where his connection was. Now we get to the second problem. Here's the second problem that we have. Not only where people don't know where to get connected, we got the issue of where people start doing stuff that they pull the plug on themselves. Reverend Gibbons called it stinking thinking. You know, and it starts with this. Starts with this. God tells you who you are in Christ. You're connected with the vine. And then we start doubting it. Well, I don't feel saved. I don't know. I just don't feel like. Or we get around other folk who ain't doing what God wants them to do, and we start compromising. No, you ought not be doing that. My grandma said, you ought not be farting yourself over there with them anyway. But there you go. And because you're with them, well, if they do it, I got to do it. Let me tell y'all something. I tell on myself so people don't gossip about me. People that gossip ain't got a thing to say because I tell on myself. And they tell you, in my day, no smoking in the school. So what am I going to do? I'm cool, you know. I'm cool. I'm going to smoke anyway. So I lit up one. And in comes the principal. Now, I told my mom, I said, you know, I'm a non-smoker. So anyway, I'm up here at the bathroom, I'm smoking. And you know, if you've already inhaled it, you can't exhale without giving some evidence that you've been messing up. Well, here come the principal, what y'all boys doing in here? I said, what y'all doing in there? I said, nothing. Here comes my, come with me, young man. No, now here you go. Here you go. A lot of times Christians get themselves in trouble because they want to be accepted by people who are cool, who are the in crowd, as we would call it back. Y'all remember that? I mean, with the in crowd. Okay. We want to be around them, and we're not aware that you have one of the greatest connections with power that ever existed. Do not value other people's opinion above who you are in Christ. Don't, young folk, don't let people belittle you. You one of them. You one of them church. Yeah, I'm one of them. What you gonna do about it? You boast about who you are in Christ. And while the world puts you down, say, okay, you only got a limited time. Go ahead and do your stuff. But I know when I'm in eternity and you're on your way to hell, you're going to be asking me. You're going to be trying to find out, well, where you going? Don't worry about where I'm going. I'm in Christ. Gives us an opportunity to stand up for what we believe in. So believers, they compromise and they get weak in their connection And whenever you see something get weakened in the connection, you're not going to have that full communication between you and God. Are y'all still here? You don't need the things of the world. One of the things that I did when I got saved, I quit drinking. Not because someone stood over me and said, well, now, thou shalt not drink. Thou shalt not go to the ABC store on Friday evening. Y'all still, well, it got quiet, and now you could hear a pin drop. The reason why I stopped drinking is because I found a fountain. Why do I need to drink scotch and soda when now I got Jesus? And he gives me that peace and that joy. What I was looking for in a bottle, I found in Christ. Are y'all still here? And the same goes true for drugs. If you one of those that every time you get paid, you got to go down to the local, hey man, hit me up. By the way, they legalize it. Now they're getting ready to sell from the state. How messed up is that? But anyway, that's another topic for another time. And a lot of people, depending on the world, not recognizing if you're in Christ, you have a connection. Why do you need the things of the world when you have the things of God? It's amazing. I don't know. And I keep asking God over and over again, why do you love us so much? Why do you care so deeply? And the only reason I can come back is with this, Freddie. The only reason why I can come back is with this, Jesse. Here's the reason. God wants to prove his love. Not just to say he has it, but that he's going to prove his love. He loves to the utmost. How do I know? You're looking at an example right here. I ought not to be here. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. You can talk about me, call me everything but a child of God, but guess who I am? I am a child of God. Who said so? Jesus said so. He said so. So here's what we need to do. Very quickly before we close, here's what we need to do. If we know that we're connected with the vine, then we know also there's a responsibility of the branches. When we visited that orchard, if they didn't have any apples, nobody's going to go and look at trees. Y'all missed that. If you don't have some fruit in your life, why would you claim that you have a connection with God? So here's the thing that we need to do to give evidence that we have the power of God through in us. And Jesus talked about the divine oneness. Write that down in your notes, the divine oneness. John 17 and verse 21, that they may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Did y'all hear that? So you now, when you check your connection and you know you have a source of power, the first thing you do, you acknowledge that God is your source. You are one with God. Now, it used to be, when I was back in the 70s, you know, when they had this thing of where you could meditate and become one, and you just get, you know, just get into that meditation mode. You become one. You ain't got to do all that stuff. Go to the Word. This is your declaration. This is what the Bible says that you have in Christ. We talked about a record. God gave you a record that now you're in Christ. He put it in his word, his contract, and he can't back down from it. So now you're connected with him, so you have this divine oneness. Now why would you have to make sure that the world knows that God is your source? How many of y'all know that God is your source? My grandma would say, he's my very present help in a time of trouble. God is your source. So if God is your source, what else needs to happen in a believer's life? The first thing you do is you respond with praise and acknowledging his grace. Now, praise is not always lifting up your hands, but praise is when you recognize that the Lord is working through you and you say, Lord, thank you for that. You can be driving down the road and all of a sudden something comes across your mind and all out of your spirit there comes this praise. Or maybe when you've done something to help someone, all of a sudden you acknowledge, Lord, it's got to be you. It's got to be you. How many of you all have had this, just a thought to come over your mind, and next 5 minutes or maybe a day or so, it comes to pass? How many of y'all ever had that to happen? Now, here's what some folk do. Here's what some folk do. You know what? Something told me. Quit talking about something told you. That was God. That was God. He walks with you. He talks with you. And he tells you that you are his own. You are connected. That's an indication you're connected. When God whispers to you, now, don't worry about that bill. I got it. As a matter of fact, the bill came before the blessing. But the blessing gonna take care of the... Y'all, I wish I could talk to y'all. That's God. He wants you to recognize that he's your source. And so what you do, you respond with praise. Now, let me ask you a question, Christian. People say, I don't think it takes all that. Let me ask you a question. If you don't praise him for the blessing he gives you, who is going to praise him? And how will they know that you've been blessed unless you said, thank you, God? Here's what I want to see happen. Rather than folks throwing up their hands and I want people to throw up their hands and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Don't be ashamed of him. The world is ashamed of him, but not us, because we got a connection. Second thing you do, you respond by acknowledging dependence on God's power. John 15 and 8 says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. But then it goes on to say in verse 5, without me, you could do nothing. When you get to the place where you recognize, okay, Lord, I can't do this. Here's where I explained it to God. I said, Lord, I'm getting ready to mess up. You need to come in and fix me up. And every time, without fail, God comes in. Why? Because I acknowledge my weakness. I acknowledge my need for him. Third thing you need to do, share the power with others. Watch this. They got this thing now. Y'all got these new cell phones that if somebody else is running weak in power, all they got to do is come over and lay their cell phone on your cell phone and they'll get some power. Well, guess what? Jesus had that connection a long time ago. He put so much grace and love and amazing power in your life. All somebody else needed. I know we're getting COVID. You can't touch folk and you can't do that, but you can look at them. And you can tell them, God is good. The Lord is merciful. God brought me out of darkness. And before you know it, somebody else that was weak, they say, you know what? If you say God is good, I'm going to say God is good. Every time you pray for one another, you're sharing power. Every time you pick up your Bible and somebody's telling you about their problem, you pick up your Bible and you tell them, well, here's what I believe the Word says. You just taking their cell phone, putting it on your cell phone, say, you ain't got much power, but I got a full charge battery. I got a full charge, and I want to get you excited. My job every Sunday is to get your battery charged. You know why? Because you're going to go out there and you're going to be entering into a mean world. But if God is able, can I talk about it? As the old preacher said, if God is able, he'll bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Somebody say yes up in here. God is a good God. God is an amazing God. And the thing is, you are amazing people. The world has been putting you down, but now you need to stand up and tell yourself, I'm a child of God. As a matter of fact, it's not being vain when you look in your mirror and you say, no, God, you did a good job with me. Just don't do it too long, right? You can't live in front of your mirror. All right, here we go. The last thing I want to talk about, you demonstrate God's power through your testimony. You praise him, you acknowledge him, you acknowledge his power, you share the power with others, but you demonstrate to this world through your testimony. Every Sunday, when you leave your neighborhood, People are looking at you, seeing you all dressed up, going to this thing called a church. What is a church? You can tell them it's my connection with God. Yeah, but I know you've been always knowing you. You ain't this. Well, wait a minute. You just don't know my connection. I agree. I may not be what I ought to be. But when I look back over my life, can I preach up in here? I know it's time you got to go. Folks out in the parking lot, they're looking at their watch. I know it's time you got to go. But when I look back where the Lord brought me from, when I see how he's been with me all through my life, I'm telling you, God has not failed. I failed him many times. But when I see where he brought me from, but not only that, when I see where he brought me from, I look at where I'm going. Are y'all still here? Are y'all still in the building? I'm on my way to glory. I'm just a country boy. I haven't been a whole lot of places in my life. I've never been to Paris in the spring, all right? I've never been to Rome to see the Pope. But I know one thing, one of these old days, I'm going to board up with a cloud from glory, and I'm going to see Jesus, my connection, my mighty God. I'm going to be with him. And what a glorious time that will be. Now would be a good time to check your connection. I'm not done preaching, but I'm just going to stop right here. And as the old preacher said, I'm going to open the doors of the church. If anybody need to be saved, I mean, I am an old preacher. What am I talking about like the old? I am an old preacher. But God is good. How many of y'all enjoyed the Lord today? Did you enjoy his word? Go back, read this verse. Read John chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. Read it. It's to you. It's telling you who you are and what you can be through Christ. Don't let the world label you. You've already been claimed by God Almighty. If you are a sinner, if you're online, or if you're here in the building, please accept this. This is God's plan for you, and he wants you to know him. He wants you to realize what strength you have through him. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your amazing love. Thank you for your wonderful power. And Lord, even though we didn't realize who we were, you connected us with the mighty one. Thank you for the power of God that flows through my mind, heart, and soul. Help me to take advantage of it. Forgive me for unplugging sometimes and just getting into messed up stuff. I know it wasn't right, but now I pray that you'd help me to maintain that connection. Continue to bless us, to be a blessing, that we would reach out and give testimony to the world that Christ is real. We pray in the strong name of Jesus and for his glory. All the saints said, amen.